The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
And welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth program. Here's what we have coming up for you. Many of you have fear of spending money in retirement. It's a growing trend and it's driving some people crazy. Also, in today's program, we're going to cover what you need to know about your Social Security and how to take your Social Security payments. Yes, I said it's yours, not the government's. It belongs to you. And we're going to try to empower you so that you feel better about Social Security. And lastly, I'm going to discuss inheritance. Are you expecting an inheritance? Or maybe you're expecting to leave an inheritance? We're going to talk about it from both sides because it's amazing how many folks I talk to that want to leave an inheritance, they want to leave a legacy, and others do not. They want to spend their last dollar and their last breath. And then I have the children of a lot of people I work with who believe that they'll be getting an inheritance. It drives their parents crazy because their kids just spend, spend, spend. We're going to talk about it on both sides. Let's jump in. I want to broach the subject that's difficult for many to discuss, and that is, how do you spend and live your best life after your working years, your career years, without the fear of running out of money and going broke? It's a topic that I don't think gets enough attention. What tends to get the majority of the attention today is the folks that have not been able to save and put money away to be in a position to even worry about going broke because they feel they're broke today. And to shed some light on it, I thought I would bring in one of my colleagues, teammate that works directly with me here at Cordasco Financial Network. That's Chris Gibbons, financial advisor. Chris, welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth show.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
Half of those entering into retirement in our country are not prepared for what it's going to cost. They just have not been able to save enough. They haven't lived within their means. They just have not been disciplined in putting money away, or there's been a bad money decision that has set them back. Primarily, it all comes from what I would say is lack of financial literacy. Share with us how you and I and the team here at Cordasco Financial Network position that discussion of spending in those later years.
When we meet someone who's interested in working with us, they're prepared, and sort of you mentioned, they're prepared because they were disciplined. So if you're sitting at the table with a financial advisor and you have the luxury of having the conversation of saying, I'm ready to retire, I'm ready to live off of my assets, I've never met somebody who got there by accident. So I never met somebody who just lucked into the money or just stumbled and woke up one morning and had $1 million. You know, the way that it happens is discipline. The way that it happens is saving first. The way that it happens is having a plan. And what's interesting is when we get to retirement, sort of to Steve's point, to your point, Steve, is the expectation of the industry is that suddenly this person will change. So this person who's been disciplined, who's lived within their means, who's saved every penny first before they spent anything, suddenly they'll change into this person who goes on all these trips and sits on the beach with a drink and coffee and, you know, all of the pictures that you've seen on the commercials. But the fact of the matter is these people spent 30, 40, 50, 60 years being the kind of disciplined person who saved first. And so just because they've transitioned to the next stage of their life doesn't mean that thing is going to change. So the fear or the pragmatism or whatever the word is that drove them to be who they were to get into the position to have a conversation about retirement is not going to go away. So that will sort of manifest itself in retirement as fear of running out of money, fear of spending too much money, thinking that although they've accumulated all this wealth, they still need to clip coupons every day, they still need to do all of the things they did when they were working. And so really for us, the conversation is not around what's your number. It's not around, do you have enough? It's not around necessarily even what your budget is. It's getting people to understand that that mindset that they've had for so long won't go away. And then how do we use that in a productive way in retirement? Because if we know a person's nature, if we know how they make decisions, if we know what their values are, we can apply that in the next stage of life. And you know, anybody who just became retired will tell you, if you're on the side of still working, life is very, very different on the other side. And so we're not going to change somebody's nature, but we do have to prepare them for what is a very, very different life when they've left the sort of productive workforce.
Because we're in a practice, we can talk about what we've seen and not seen.
Yeah.
So you brought up, you haven't seen somebody who kind of lucked in, and I can respect that. And I would say I have seen, but yet nobody categorizes as receiving an inheritance as lucked into it. So I've seen those that have inherited large amounts of money.
Sure.
Let's say it's $500,000 or $1 million or $100,000, whatever it is. What's interesting is that wealth accumulation came from a family member in most cases that sacrificed. And what I find is that when that child that receives that inheritance, who might be in their 60s because the parent passes away in the 80s, when they come into those dollars, guess what? They still have on their mind what the family went through to accumulate that wealth.
That's right.
And what's interesting, when I was in my 20s helping people with their wealth, now that I'm in my 50s, I see people that I've helped almost 30 years ago. Now in their mid to late 80s, their children are in their 60s or late 50s. And you know what the kids say that receive that inheritance? I wish mom and dad got more enjoyment out of this. What we are attempting to do now, when we work with people that are transitioning from that accumulation time when they're in their career phase into how they want to use their wealth to live their best quality of life. And what we're finding today, especially baby boomers, they're more open to live in that quality of life because they see what their moms and dads have gone through in their later years.
That's true.
And it's not just as simple saying you're going to frivolously decide to go and do a big European vacation and spend $40,000 or go on a safari. What it doesn't matter what people want to do. It's together what you want to live your best life. It's a, if it's a safari, then we work through that. We talk about that. But guess what? You know how many people that we sit down with would never even consider that that was possible? And so talk about how we go through exercises to try to get people to open up about what's important to them in their life and what they want.
Yeah. So, you know, our industry is all is so focused on words like, you know, asset allocation, investment management, is so focused on products like life insurance and annuities that they forget that our clients, although they're very savvy and they know this stuff, they don't live their life through that lens. They live their life through, man, I really wish I could spend more time with my kids and my mom and dad while they're still here. They live their life through, am I missing something when I'm paying my taxes? I really wish I had a strategy. They live their life through, I want to pay for my grandkids' education. And so for us, our process is, yeah, we really need to be pros at all of the terminology, all the technical side, but we also need to marry our planning language with the language of our clients, sort of the things that they want. And you talked about this together idea. The last couple months in our office has been client after client after client saying, I just want to spend more time with the people I care about, whether it's kids and grandkids, whether it's my parents while they're still around. We had someone who said, you know, I never see my sister anymore. It's been years since I've flown out to see her. And so that theme, when you talk about getting value of your dollar or getting use out of your dollar and value out of your retirement, that theme is really, really common right now. Baby boomers who are getting on the cusp and saying, if I could go back and do it all over again, I would spend more time with these people. So what I'm going to do now that I have the time is invest it, for lack of a better word, in all these people that I really care about. And so for us, I think we try and get better at this every single day. It's marrying our planning language with the language of people's lives and getting away from some of the technical stuff that, yes, of course, we need to do to allow them to do that, but getting them to say, you know what, I have a plan that lets me be involved with my kids, that lets me be there for my grandkids, that lets me take care of mom and dad. And I can do that in this big scope of the work that I've done, of all the hard work that I put in, of all the time I saved, assets I've, you know, all of that stuff. And so I think that's what I've seen in the last couple months is probably the most important thing right now, is giving people voice, like giving people a chance to share their stories and share what they really want, and then marrying our technical stuff to that language.
Yeah, it's interesting because the industry has created this approach of, what's your goals?
Right.
What do you want to do?
Right.
And
you don't have permission to ask yet.
And what often happens is in their training to do that, when you ask somebody, what are your goals? And then you're supposed to stop talking. And what I found in my practice of doing this, and Chris, you and I are on the same page with this because we talk about it all the time, is that people have trouble being on the same page. Meaning there'll be one person in a relationship that will belt something out like Safari, or I want to, you know, go to my car shows and work on antique vehicles, and then the other person stays silent and says, yeah, you know, well, we go to Bowling Green to the Corvette show, and it's a big thing. And after one passes away, it's not uncommon for that person to say, yeah, I went mostly for so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So what we've worked on here at our firm is the stage called uncovering. We go about uncovering in a different way, in that we uncover what is important to people in their lives in a certain way in which we look at what's a priority to them, mm-hmm. what's important to them in their life. And we do it by showing pictures. We do it by showing words. And those words open up the dialogue. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm finding is that when people go through a change of life event, especially from their career years to what some would call retirement or the next stage of life, when they go through a period of time where maybe the kids are out of the house now and it's empty nest time, where do we go? And or whether it's into a phase of, geez, we have moms and dads that we now need to take care of because our kids are out.
Right.
These are major life-changing event moments. And people often have blinders when it comes to expressing what they want. It's hard to make those decisions. I'm going to give a quick story because I tested this approach before I wanted to head in the direction of coming up with a new way to uncover. Mm-hmm. Because I always felt like I was uncovering. I was asking questions, bouncing questions off, and trying to create the dialogue. And I thought there's got to be a better way in which I can rule biases out. And how can I take me trying to carry conversation, to open up conversation, to uncover without missing something. So I took an approach and I used it with my wife and I. And I was shocked that here I am as a financial advisor, somebody who's been married 25 years and have known my wife for 35 years. Her mom has passed away. Her dad's still alive. Both of my parents are still alive. She's great with my parents, but you know, she's still a daughter-in-law and they're still
the in-laws,
right? And, you know, it gets sometimes, you know, sometimes there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But it's no different than any other family. I would have thought that what's important to my wife later on in life for us would have been certain things. And if somebody asked me what's important to us, I would have went through what it is. And I would have been very wrong. Because her number one priority is to take care of my mom and dad. Hmm. So as we were going through some house design work, we would have probably never have put a bedroom on the first floor of a house with easy access to a bathroom, with easy access, a lift to get up and down. Now, hopefully my mom and dad aren't listening to this because they're vibrant and they're thinking that lift that you have in your house is really for us.
They're moving right in.
But we were able to make a decision.
Yeah.
Now that we knew that information, we're not here to say people need to now go out and spend more.
No.
What we're saying is people will live within their discipline and what they know of living within their budget.
Yep.
But there's usually these few big life events that might happen every other year, every 3 years, maybe every 5 years. And to have a good team working with you that know where your priorities lie, bouncing your affordability to do it off of them is a real key to success. For example, you had mentioned somebody says, hey, I want to spend time with loved ones.
Yeah.
To ask what that means, it's like, I'd love to spend more time with my grandkids because I didn't spend time with my kids because I was working for all of this.
That's right.
And we helped somebody the other day say, what would be wonderful? Well, our kids are out working a lot now. I even brought up the song Cats in the Cradle. You know, how many times have you heard that song? I'm going to shed a tear. Like,
got a little misty in
now
there.
Now the kids are too busy for you and you were there. So what do you want to do? And, you know, in this particular case, they always want to do a trip to Disney World with the grandkids. And, you know, they invited the kids. And guess what? They can afford to do it.
Well, and you brought up a good point. You know, the problem with saying to somebody, what's your goals? And then letting them talk is all of us, generally speaking, are going to go to the things that make us happy. Right? We say, what's your goal? Well, I want to retire as soon as I can. I want to do all of these nice things. And part of this process for us is what do we need to do to give you room to not only tell us about all the things that will make you happy and fulfilled and all of that good stuff, but what do we need to do in the conversation to give you room to tell us about all the stuff that keeps you up at night too?
Yep.
Your conversation about the house. Well, yeah, of course you want a big house for your kids, but the scary thing is, what if we have to take care of mom and dad? Well, that's down the road of the conversation. You're going to lead with that when somebody asks what your goals are. So you have to give people room to do that.
Yep. And that's what people need to know. So the next step would be, how do you go about doing this?
Right.
And if you want to learn more about how to articulate what you need and what's important to you, feel free to reach out. Go to asksteve@cfnplan.com. There's tools available that create dialogue. And that's what's most important, especially between spouses and family members. That's the most important part. But sometimes to bridge that, you might want to work with an intermediary, somebody like a financial advisor who can help you bridge that gap of talking about these things. So it's asksteve@cfnplan.com. More than happy to send you articles that we've written on this topic and show you white papers that we put together on how to go about doing it. So Chris, thanks so much for the work you do and helping people open up and share what they really want out of life. And coming up next, we're going to talk Social Security and what you need to know for your own well-being.
Steve's back with more of Your Life, Your Wealth in just a moment.
Steve Cordasco has been broadcasting for more than 20 years, talking about retirement planning, money, the economy, finance, investments, politics, and so much more. An important part of Steve's broadcasts has always been talking directly with you, the listener. Now, the tradition continues. You can join Steve by phone on an upcoming program. Just drop us an email and we'll set up the call. The address? AskSteve@CFNPlan.com. That's AskSteve@CFNPlan.com. Join us by phone and become part of the program. Email Steve at AskSteve@CFNPlan.com.
Your Life, Your Wealth continues. Here again, Steve Cordasco.
We're going to talk about Social Security. And when it's time for you to collect Social Security, there are many important factors to consider on how to collect your Social Security. Many people, just like you, make mistakes when it comes to their Social Security elections. Today, we're going to talk about how to avoid the common mistakes many people make. Let's jump in. Number one mistake that we're seeing people do when it comes to making their Social Security electives is that many are taking the benefit too early. Social Security gives you the opportunity within a window to pick when you want to start collecting your Social Security. At age 62 is when the faucet can be turned on. So let's say you're getting close to retirement, or let's say you've already retired, but now you're looking at making that decision in this early period of your retirement to take Social Security. Well, the age that you can start is age 62. Many feel as if they want to take it 62 because they want the payments to start now. Others, believe it or not, think they have no other choice but to take it age 62. And that's not true. You have a choice. Based on your birth date, you have a window that you can turn the faucet on to receive your Social Security. You got to remember, it's your money. And a rule, for example, to be able to start collecting, you have to hit a certain age. You can take it 62, 66, 67 for most. But here's where mistakes are made. Many believe that they have to take as early as possible because they're hearing Social Security will not be there. And I don't want to get caught up in a political game, but I'm going to tell you, Social Security will be there. The problem with taking early is that you get less in the form of payment to you monthly. You cannot collect 100% of your benefits until you reach your full retirement age. That's 66 or 67 for most that are nearing that particular point. That's depending on the year in which you were born. Your benefits increase by 8% each year you delay collecting up until age 70. For those of you who are fortunate enough where you can maybe start taking your benefits at age 62, you're agreeing by taking early to receive a lower check. Here's why. Your benefits increase per year about 8%. So if you're age 62 and you say, well, I'm going to wait until 66, that benefit is increasing 8% a year. It's like earning 8%. That 8% can be a big difference for many. But here's the reason why some default to taking it early. They're under the belief that maybe Social Security won't be there for them. Many believe that they want to start collecting now because they're not going to be here. I've heard that before. Well, I'm going to start taking 62 because there's no way I'm living long enough to make up for what the fatter checks are going to give me later on down the road. There's a myth out there that collecting early is best. I'm saying don't just accept that myth as being the rule. Here's what needs to be done. A calculation. So for example, at Cardasco Financial Network, here where I work, we have software that helps us run numbers to see when what the optimal age is for someone like yourself to take Social Security. We call it our Social Security Optimization Plan. What that does is it takes into consideration a lot of different variables about you individually and not something that's rule of thumb. So there are formulas out there that can help you do this and software that can help do that. So it's important to note, it's not always best to take your Social Security early. Here's the other thing you need to know about Social Security, in that you have to claim benefits at retirement. That's not true. You don't have to claim your benefits at retirement. When you retire, you can delay taking them. You know, sometimes it doesn't pay to take after age 70, because after age 70, the benefits don't continue to grow. Remember I said 8% per year? So 62 to 66, you're getting an increase in check size if you wait to 66 by about 8% each year. That can make your check a lot bigger when you start to turn it on. It can be 25 to 30 to 35% more, a bigger check you get each month by waiting to age 67 versus 62. Here's where some of the confusion comes in. Medicare has a date that you have to file and get everything done by, right? At age 65, you got to start doing that Medicare stuff. There's no flexibility in there. Social Security, you have some flexibility. You don't have to take it 65. Your marital status, that gets affected too. Marital status should play that big role in that decision-making process. So keep that in mind. By delaying claims until age 70, that can result as about almost 40 to 50% more of a check increase to the surviving spouse. Here's a stat that also needs to be considered. Widowhood right now today is averaging about 11 years. That's a lot of payments. Also, can you make informed decisions on your own? Don't do it on your own if you haven't worked with a professional to help you do it. We do a lot here, but you can also go to the Social Security Administration. You can go to their website. There's tools there. Many think that after they make a decision, they can't change their decision. That's not true as well. If you make a decision that you feel like you regret, you have a year to change that selection. Lastly, assuming that your Social Security record is always accurate. Social Security benefits are based on the highest 35 years of earnings. And the Social Security Administration sometimes doesn't have correct record of what you've earned. You can request to change those records within 3 years, 3 months, and 15 days at the end of the taxable year of those wages. If you think the number that's coming your way from Social Security might not be accurate, don't assume that it is. You can go back and look at your wages and talk to the Social Security Administration about those wages and how that factored in. Very important. It's your money. That's how I want to conclude. So because it's your money, they've put the rules in place. Don't assume that they have all the power and control. You're allowed to second guess. You're allowed to ask questions. You're allowed to make changes. But all within the rules of what they're allowing you to do. And I've seen changes made. So just wanted to share that with you. It's something that from time to time gets present and on people's minds, especially those of you that are nearing retirement or those of you who just entered into it. If you're still within that 1-year window, remember, you can change things. So if you collected at 62 and you're saying, darn it, Cardasco, what are you doing to me? I just sent off the paperwork. I'm at 62 years of age, and now you're telling me I can have maybe 8% more, or I didn't even consider my spouse. Now I'm considering the spouse, and I'm realizing maybe I might not have made the best decisions because I was kind of emotional when I went about filling out the paperwork. Never thought I would feel this down and lonely because I'm no longer at work and around the camaraderie of people I worked with. Yeah, I know they got on my nerves enough that I thought maybe I didn't want to be there anymore, but now I miss them. And I probably made a quick decision on my Social Security. Well, guess what? You have time. But there's too many myths and rules of thumb that get people caught up in mistakes. And sometimes this is a mistake for life if you get beyond that change window. So there's variables you need to consider. And we'll be posting that. We have a lot of work we've done on the Social Security front, so we'll be able to share that with you. If you want information or you want to know how to analyze whether you're optimizing Social Security, reach out to me. Say, hey, Steve, love to run my scenario through the software program that you have. Have you take a look? Because I'm getting close to retirement or I'm in retirement. I'd like you to take a look at it. Help me make that best decision. Reach out to me. Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. That's Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. My website's also CFNplan.com. Be more than happy to help anybody that's nearing retirement or in that beginning step of retirement to be a second set of eyes, to look at the decision you made on how you're going to collect and whether or not there's something that might have been left out of your equation, something you might be missing, some rule of thumb that you thought was out there, or something a friend told you that you are now finding out that, wait a minute, that might not have been the only answer. There might be other answers or other things that can come about. Never considered the spouse. Never thought I could make a change. Never realized that it was an 8% increase per year that I delayed taking Social Security. Got confused with Medicare and the rules there. No problem. Just reach out. Be more than happy to help. That's Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. And coming up, we're going to talk about inheritance.
Steve's back with more of Your Life, Your Wealth in just a moment.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you know that more than half of Americans would rather discuss politics, religion, or even death instead of their personal finances? Is that you? Does your financial advisor talk at you or with you? When was the last open and honest conversation you had with your advisor? My good friend Steve Cardasco and his team of advisors at Cardasco Financial Network go to the next level to communicate the complicated world of money with you. Not only will Cardasco Financial Network help with your wealth, but CFN also educates and provides clarity for you to live your life. Call Cardasco Financial Network right now at 215-558-3500. Again, that's 215-558-3500. Planning for your financial future takes a team, so call Cardasco now at 215-558-3500. With Cardasco Financial Network, you are in good hands. This is Hugh Hewitt, and I recommend you give Cardasco Financial Network a call at 215-558-3500 or visit them online at cfnplan.com.
Your life, your wealth continues. Here again, Steve Cardasco.
We're going to talk about inheritance, what to do with an inheritance, how to give an inheritance. Most of us think of inheritance as something that you give to someone or you receive from someone upon death, their passing. But it's much broader than that. And today we're going to look at inheritance from both sides of the equation, from the giver of an inheritance, as well as from the receiver of an inheritance. The reason I want to cover the topic is because it tends to be a subject matter that I don't think is getting enough attention, in that there is more ways to think about planning that inheritance, whether you're the one receiving the inheritance from a standpoint of how do you plan for that, and someone who is giving the inheritance, how do you plan for that? See, we are still living in a world where money is secrecy. One of the areas that we focus a lot on when it comes to retirement planning is longevity. We're living in times where our quality of life later in life can be good, where the probability of sudden death is not commonplace. Matter of fact, sudden death, like going to bed one night and just not waking up, having a heart attack, it happens less frequently than someone as they age who cognitively and physically slows down, and we're living longer. Centuries ago, sudden death was commonplace. It's a lot of the reason why longevity and how long people are living is extending, because not like centuries ago, disease and accidents and things of that nature that would end life early or surprisingly, a document like a will needed to be in place. Today, majority of people have time to think about when they're no longer going to be here. Majority of people who have wealth are living a very long life, and many of them feel fulfilled towards the end of that life to a certain extent. But we're trained to have this thing called a will. And what I'm here to tell you is that it goes beyond that. Let's start with looking at those who give an inheritance. Many retirees have the desire to leave this legacy that I mentioned to family members or loved ones, to the point where we spend a lot of time and money setting up what's called directives. A will is a directive that speaks for you when you're no longer here. There's also something called trusts. They speak for you as well when you're no longer here. It talks about how to distribute stuff that you own. Most view those documents as needed for when you die, so that what you own can be passed on to those that you direct to receive. For some, it's important to leave money or assets or things you own to others. For some, it's not. I know many that I help plan who say, I don't care if I leave a nickel. I want to spend the last dollar in my last breath. I don't want to leave anything. Others who have priorities of, I want to take care of family members, friends, whoever it might be. Here's the message I want to deliver to you that is, I think, so darn important in this, because I'm seeing, as somebody who spends a lot of time in the space and helping people come up with strategies for their wealth as it ties to their life. And what I'm finding is that families are keeping quiet and not sharing with other family members their wishes, the wishes of what they want from their accomplishments. Might be a house, might be a baseball card collection. It might be something that has sentimental value, like the family recipes. Coming from an Italian family, there can be fights over the family recipes. By the way, I got the Purcell recipe that uses the anise oil. We had another side of the family who uses butter. I can't believe anybody would use butter on the Purcells. Anyway, I deviate. But for me, very important to get that recipe, the secret family recipe. Most don't like to talk about it or think they can't talk about it. And I'm here to tell you that we should communicate. When we communicate to others, it helps in coming up with the right strategies to do it right. Here's why. Communicating your wishes can better help you with your choices on how to share your wealth with those you care about. Communication needs to start with yourself, knowing internally what you want. It also can include your spouse, knowing what your spouse feels about the distribution of assets at some point in time. And communication needs to involve a person who is not emotionally connected, and that's important. Oftentimes, people go to a lawyer, and the lawyer's not emotionally connected. They're going to draft the thing, you know, because they know they settle the estates. They help create the estate documentations. But sometimes you got to go a bit further. If they're just going to execute the statements, the contracts, the directives, hopefully they can get involved to get to the root of the wishes. And this can be an art. Because if there's one person involved and you're the only one with assets, you don't have a spouse, you can connect with yourself and know what you want to do. But when there's others involved, communication is key. Because oftentimes, I find that there's a silent person in a partnership. I mean silent, meaning they talk, but they're not as vocal. They're not the alpha person in the relationship with expressing their wants and needs. Oftentimes, they go with the flow. But trying to get the dialogue to take place amongst two is very important. And usually, there can be somebody there that can help in creating that dialogue. A good financial advisor can do it, but you need to determine that. And that financial advisor has to be able to pull that out. Here are some of the things, like when I do this, I try to dig into and find, why are you looking to give? Are you looking to give because you feel that those you're giving to sacrificed over your lifetime? Meaning maybe you worked a lot of hours and didn't have a whole lot of time for enjoyment with the kids, which helped create this wealth. A lot of business owners, this happens to them. And now you want to give back because they were there along the way, why it was accumulated. Maybe you want to give because you want to help others, just in the generosity of your heart. You want to try to save so that there's something left over because you want to leave it to Johnny or Sally or your nieces or nephews. Some give to help avoid trouble, believe it or not. And they give to those in need. These are things that need to be talked about. Why? Because fairness comes into play too. And in today's world, there's a lot of different things happening. Do you know one of the things that baby boomers want most, those that are willing to talk about leaving an inheritance? They would love to see their loved ones enjoy the wealth, but they know they're not going to be here. They never thought that a strategy could be to give money away while you're still here. If it looks pretty good that you're going to have money left over and a good financial advisor can map it out for you, I often open up the conversation to, would you like to see those individuals that we've already mapped out that you wish to help by receiving an inheritance? Would you like to see that today? Because many retirees today and baby boomers say, hey, I'd love to see the grandkids enjoy this. We sacrificed growing up. Some people, that's what they want. There's other issues that come into play too, like giving money to all family members, but yet you have somebody within the family that if they got their hands on some money, it would be troubling. They would do things that could be harmful to themselves. How do you navigate through that? I give strategies to that all the time. Oftentimes, there's a family member who needs help along the way. And by giving that help, if you're not helping other family members, some feel as if it's not fair. The key is dialoguing and getting to the root of what it is you want to do and the reason why you want to do it, even when it comes to inheritance. Now, for those of you receiving an inheritance, you need to look at it in multiple ways as well. Because one thing that's going on in today's world, for example, is we have a sandwich society where kids might be just off, they're out of the house now. They're on the next phase of life of starting their own families and building their own career path. But yet, there's one, two, possibly three or four parents that you may have, grandparents to those kids you raised, that are now needing attention, needing help. And by opening up dialogue with those parents, it can alleviate a lot of stress. More and more, family members would rather not receive the inheritance. They'd rather see their loved ones live their best life to the very end. There has to be dialogue. Hopefully, there's somebody who can help give strategies and mediate and be a voice of reason that's not emotionally attached. And it comes down to more than just documents like a trust and a will. Strategies that can happen today. Because in the end, the person leaving something behind is doing it for a motivation. The person who might be receiving that inheritance might have a whole separate view of that inheritance. More often than not, in helping people in this space, I'm telling you, it's almost an 80-20 rule. 80% tell me, boy, I have this money. I inherited it. But boy, I wish they would have used it, enjoyed it, because towards the end, it was difficult. 80-20. Yeah, the 20% of the time, people were, you know, dancing in the streets. They got a check. But for the most part, that's what happened. And why did it happen that way? There wasn't dialogue. Wasn't dialogue. There's also situations where there's trusts that skip the kids and go to the grandkids. You know how many people today in their 80s and 90s that I see putting documents together say, well, my kids are good. They're taken care of. Nope, I'm going to give it to the grandkids. I keep asking the question, why do you want to bypass your kids and go to the grandkids? You know what I hear more often than not the reason? Something that's coming through on the TV and the radio. The generation coming up, look what we left them. Look how expensive school is. Look how expensive life is. Look at all these kids that have to live with their parents. There's this mantra going on in our country. Look at the debt we're leaving the next generation. Well, that generation, from many in their 80s and 90s, are not the kids that they raised. It's the grandkids. But guess what? That can be painful. Where some kids see that inheritance went somewhere else and not in their direction. Me, being on both sides of that, more often than not, see the proud look in the person's eye when those directives are put in place, that that's one of the things that happened in their life, that they've positioned their kids to do very well. And therefore, they're giving it to the other generation. Just interesting times that we are in. But guiding somebody can say, if you're going to do that, let's put a little note together so that that person can see your heartfelt thoughts about their accomplishments and how proud you are of them. Because that letter, that note, that expression, for some, is priceless. Important stuff. It's all part of legacy planning. Inheritance, how you go about it, and the dialogue is very important because the world we live in today is not the world of yesterday.
Steve's back with more of Your Life, Your Wealth in just a moment.
Steve Cordasco has been broadcasting for more than 20 years, talking about retirement planning, money, the economy, finance, investments, politics, and so much more. An important part of Steve's broadcasts has always been talking directly with you, the listener. Now, the tradition continues. You can join Steve by phone on an upcoming program. Just drop us an email and we'll set up the call. The address? AskSteve@CFNPlan.com. That's AskSteve@CFNPlan.com. Join us by phone and become part of the program. Email Steve at AskSteve@CFNPlan.com.
Bringing comfort and clarity to your life and wealth. This is CFN, Cordasco Financial Network. Once again, Steve Cordasco.
We covered a lot of territory, and with that, the topic of fear of spending in retirement, the topic of Social Security. Do you see how the two tie together there a little bit? A lot of folks who are fearful of spending, which gets triggered, as we talked about with Chris Gibbons, is that they believe they're going to run out of money. They're almost convinced that they're going to run out of money. Many of them decide to turn their Social Security on early. And it's interesting because if there's longevity, which is one of the factors that people fear that they're going to run out of money. It could be the markets. They say the investment returns. People throw these things out there. But the number one reason that anybody has a retirement that ends up in a bad place, usually it's because they're overspending. So therefore, people have this fear of spending because they don't want to run out of money. And when I get to the root of the fear of spending, you know what I hear? Well, I'm going to be in this stage of life for a long time. And I see a lot of people I know, or I took care of my parents, and they lived a lot longer than they thought they were going to live. And the prices of things go up, so I'm fearful I'm going to run out of money. Then when we shift gears to talk Social Security, that same person wants to take Social Security at age 62. Why do you want to take it at age 62? Well, I'm going to take it because I need it so I don't run out of money later on. Oh, so it's later on you're worried about. If you wait a few more years, that Social Security check is going to be a lot fatter later on. People who are fearful of spending in their later years and retired years are people who leave inheritance. Some of those people would prefer not to leave an inheritance. The goal is to spend and enjoy the money themselves. But that fear gets in the way. So one way to go about it would be, again, to add some clarity to it. So a good planning approach can help with that. If you are expecting to receive an inheritance, that needs to be planned properly as well. Because a lot of people who receive inheritance or are likely to receive inheritance, believe it or not, I see a lot of times where people would say, hey, good to get an inheritance, but this inheritance came from hard work and it came from a loved one or two that the person receiving the inheritance, whether it's a niece or a nephew, a spouse, or a child, they often say, I wish they would have spent it themselves, used it on themselves. So it's important to talk these things out, and communication is important, and knowing what your wishes are. I'll end it with this. I saw a cute, really cute piece where it was online. I'll try to post it. And it was a woman who was sitting at, it looked like maybe her husband's funeral. There was the casket. She was in the front row in a metal folding chair by herself. Another elderly woman comes in and sits down next to her and looks over and says, it's about time the old bastard died. He was miserable. Actually, it was the woman's sister. And the woman says, he sure was. He would never spend a dime. He could never go out to eat. All he ever did was talk about his money. She goes, well, you're not going to do what he asked you to do and bury him with all the money that he saved. And the widow says, oh, I certainly am. She goes, well, you're a fool. He had so much, how's it all going to fit in there? And she goes, well, I took all the money and I put it in a bank account in my name and I wrote him a check and it's in the top pocket of his suit. So when he gets to where he's going, he can cash it. Kind of sums it up. The woman has the money. She wished along the way things could have been different. She has the inheritance. Somewhere along the way, the gentleman who took his last breath, who was sitting in that funeral home with nobody else but the wife and the sister, probably had a lot of fear of spending, a lot of anxiety about money that he never shared. So we're living today in a different world, and it's easier to talk about that kind of stuff. So knowing what kind of mind you have and how you think about money and getting guidance for everyone else who touches your money within your life is important to note. And it's something I wanted to showcase here because I think it matters to you and your family. So glad you're a part of today's program. Hope you found it valuable. Be more than happy to talk to you about all of the topics that we cover on the Your Life, Your Wealth show. Just send me an email, asksteve@cfnplan.com. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows are reproduced as podcasts and can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.